We look unto Jesus, who is the author and finisher of our faith. And Lord, it is our faith that you are working on today, and that's why we're here, not only to be blessed with your presence and fellowship with each other, but Lord, that we would believe and trust you with that childlike faith that you want. So Lord, we thank you now in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Amen, amen. I've got a title here for us. We are powerless without him. We are powerless without him. And all of those who say amen and agree with this and know this, they are clear signs that you are truly saved, born again from above. Because there were a lot of religious people who really wouldn't understand this, because they think that their devotion, their regular church attendance and everything is a sign that they're with him, and it's not at all. It's completely different. It's where Christ meets with us and he recreates, it's miraculous, that new nature, that new heart that is divinely given to us from him, and it is a gift. So we're calling this teaching, We Are Powerless Without Him. And I want us to turn to the parable of the vine. And we can read this in the Gospel of John, chapter 15. I know you've read this many times, but I trust that we will be able to glean something even further out of our teaching today. John 15. And we take it up from verse 1. I am the true vine. My Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. You are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. Abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit, for without me you can do nothing. For if anyone does not abide in me, he is cast out as a branch and is withered, and they gather them and throw them into the fire, and they are burned. But if you abide in me, my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire, and it shall be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, so will you be my disciples. Again, another profound parable. And what I love about these parables, there's always something new that comes out of them. There is a quickening, a revelation that is attached to these parables that is absolutely amazing. Because he says, I am the true vine. We often think that Israel is the true vine. No, God is the vine. He's the root. He's the plant. That is him. And we're grafted into him. And it's interesting when you look at a vine has a trunk to it. And then from that trunk, the branches come out. One could say that the trunk originally was Israel, and is, because we're told that we're grafted into the vine as Gentiles. And so we get this wonderful analogy. And who is the vine dresser? Who actually works on this vine to bear fruit? It's our Father in heaven. And he then gives the warning that every branch that does not bear fruit, he takes away. So we are to draw our life from the vine, the roots of the vine. Otherwise, he throws it away, in other words. So we're calling this teaching, we are powerless without him. You see, it's interesting that people don't grow vines today. We don't grow them much in our garden. A few may do, but it's not something that was grown much more years back. There were vineyards in this country, right up in, I believe, Scotland somewhere, Dumfries. They found a Roman villa, the remains of a Roman villa. And when they were excavating, they found that this Roman villa was also a vineyard. So grapes were growing up in Scotland. And they talk about climate change and everything. Well, that's good news, isn't it? That they could even grow grapes up in Scotland. But there are many countries, of course, that have miles and miles of vineyard and grapes that they grow. And it's a very spiritual thing to look at, because we're reminded of John 15 about the true vine. You see, many come to Christ because Christianity is nice, it's good, it's respectable, it's social, it makes me feel good. I've done my duty. But you see, Christ is referred to as this vine. And when you buy a vine, you have to water, you have to cultivate it. You have to put it in proper ground, soil. And when you are cultivating them, you are stimulating the nutrients, the hormones, of which creates the growth of the vine. And then it puts out its branches, and they are the ones that are going to bear the fruit. And before the fruit actually forms, it has a canopy, and that canopy is leaves that it grows. So it's like a protection over the grapes that are forming under these leaves, which is a type of protection. And then at the right time, they have to then remove some of these leaves, a little bit like with a vine of a tomato, by removing them toward the end of the season before they are harvested. It means then that the sun will ripen them. They're big enough, they're robust enough, ready, healthy enough for the sun to ripen them. And when they're ready, they then pick their harvest. There is tremendous spiritual analogy that is attached to the way you grow these vines, you see. And this fruit is our inheritance, that we may be fruitful, that we may be spiritually productive. You see, God, when he created, and he created the world, and he created man, he spoke, go forth and multiply, be fruitful. And we don't always appreciate that as Christians, saved, baptized, empowered with the Spirit, God's called us to be fruitful. What he spoke into being. That's why we go forth and we make disciples for the kingdom of God. Many churches miss that. They just want to fill the seats and get them to join their church or whatever it would be. That isn't what it's about. We go forth and we make disciples. And disciples have to be nurtured, fed, taught, the same as you have to be. I have to be. And that's why he has the body, his church, which really is a schooling. We're brought in by the power of the Spirit. Most of us have been brought in. Most of us are here today because somebody prayed for us. It all starts with intercession, prayer. If you like, the planting of the seed is first done in heaven, spiritually. This is why I tell you to hold on for your family, your loved ones. Your prayers have planted the seed, the growth that is going to produce in that right time and season. You see, this is why we're calling this teaching today, we are powerless without him, because we do everything unto him. We commit all our ways unto him. We direct our prayers, intercessions unto him. Why? He says, I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. The Father prunes it. He works on the fruit, you see. In the Godhead, they are working perfectly in harmony and unity with our salvation. And all of it is ministered to us by the Blessed Comforter, the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. But like all things, vines have to be watered. And sometimes in that watering, they have to put fertilizer with it. So how are we watered, brothers and sisters? Well, welcome. You've been brought here today to have a watering. And it's through the Word of God. Because you need to be watered. You need to survive. You need to be washed. Cleansed. That's how faith comes. And we see this wonderful analogy running all the time when God said, multiply and be fruitful. That is the command of Almighty God spoken over this world. And it comes to pass, you see. And this fruit that we produce, the grapes, the harvest, is all our inheritance. And what do the grapes represent? Each grape represents reproduction. There's seed in the fruit. And so not all the fruit is consumed. Some of it is kept aside, dried, in order to get the seed from it to continue to plant. There is the reproduction continuing going on. And how do we do that, brothers and sisters? The parable of the sower, by the preaching and teaching of the word. So you see the fruit that has been produced, the fruit that saves us, brings us into fellowship. We are the fruit, we are fruitful. This assembly is to be fruitful. God has saved seed from this in order for that seed to be sown into other hearts. And so the reproduction continues through every generation. Isn't it wonderful how God works this? How he has everything under complete control. And so, with the vine that is planted, there it remains. It abides, you see? And that's why Jesus said, those that endure to the end will be saved. So we function where we have been planted. You don't keep moving vines. In fact, you don't keep moving plants in your garden. There are some gardeners, they just, after a couple of years, dig them up and put them somewhere else all the time. They never properly grow. because of the root structure. And so we have to grow where God places us in order to be fruitful, because you cannot bear fruit, you cannot show anything above the soil until the roots have done their work, that they're going to feed and supply the growth that is going to take place, you see? And that is, and so the planting of the Lord is his sovereign work. This is why I say we are not here by mistake. God brings us, even here today, because he has planted us together for his glory. And that then means he can start to build through us and through this assembly, which he's doing. And so he says that verse 2, every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. Do you know that pruning in your life? Are you aware of it? Gets painful, doesn't it, sometimes, that pruning? But you know, there's nothing like a good prune. A friend of mine asked me to come and give advice about the roses. They wanted to prune them. And so I watched what they were doing. I said, you're not going to get much out of that. I said, this is how much you need to take off this rose. They were shocked. I said, don't worry. I said, that pruning, hard pruning for that rose is going to produce lovely blossoms. And lo and behold, it did. It was prolific. They'd never seen it like it. And God does exactly the same. And sometimes you think, Lord, no more pruning. I can't take any more. But that's where he says, count it all joy, because there is going to come a harvest out of this. I'm producing fruit out of this, because God is going to have the overcomers to be fruitful in their life. And he says in verse 3, you are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. So there we are, the new birth. You've been cleansed. Your sin has been dealt with and cast away as far as the east is to the west. By what? He spoke the word over you. And it doesn't return to him void. It goes forth and accomplishes. So it's the word that gives us that life. And then he says in verse 4, abide in me and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine. Neither can you unless you abide in me. What is verse 4 about? What is it talking about there? It's talking about relationship, abiding, staying together, not running away or whatever it would be. Here it is. We abide. He abides in me and I abide in him. For the purpose that these branches that are going forth, that are going to produce this fruit, will stay, endure, because you won't get any fruit otherwise. And in the fruit, you won't get the seed, which is the word of God. And how the enemy knows that, and how he tries to attack and has attacked the church through the centuries, because he hates the fruit that is going to be produced, that has within it the seed of the word of God that is going to be planted. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit, for without me you can do nothing. There you go. That is why we abide. We are in relationship with him. This word that we are preaching, there is a person behind this. And he loves us and has saved us and drawn us in by the word of God. And he says, now abide, stay. I planted you. I've not made a mistake. Do you know, brothers and sisters, there are many, many Christians, and I speak with some of them online, they do not know the planting of the Lord. They're unsettled. They go from place to place. But that's not with us. We know exactly where we have been planted. We know exactly this is where the growth is going to take place. Why? Because God, along with this, with the deeper life teaching, has brought a vision with it. Because he says, without that vision, you perish. In other words, you get lost. You've lost your way. And so many Christians are groping around, don't know which way to go, which way to turn, because they do not know the planting of the Lord. And he says again in verse 7, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire and it shall be done for you. So here this word keep coming up all the time, abide. It's relationship. Staying with it, knowing that God hasn't made a mistake. Our Father is the vine dresser. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, so you will be my disciples. So what is it for? For his glory. To do what? To make you and I a disciple, a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ. Wonderful, isn't it? How these parables have such a wonderful metaphor to them and how we can glean so much out of them. But isn't it sad that God intended that for the children of Israel, but they failed? Let's just read one or two scriptures in light of God's heart over this. Turn with me, if you will, to Jeremiah. Jeremiah chapter 2 and verse 21. Jeremiah chapter 2 and verse 21. Yet I had planted you a noble vine, a seed of the highest quality. How then have you turned before me into the degenerate plant of an alien vine? Wow. Just listen to that. So God planted Israel as a vine. And he says, the seed that I planted was of the highest quality. So we see that God only uses the best of seed to plant, healthy. But she turned away. What does it say with Ezekiel? Ezekiel 19 and verse 10. Ezekiel 19 and verse 10. Your mother was like a vine in your bloodline, planted by the waters, fruitful and full of branches because of many waters. She had strong branches for scepters of rulers. And so it goes on, and towered in stature above the thick branches, and was seen in her height amid the dense foliage. But she was plucked up in fury. And so it goes on. You see, that's giving a description of the growth of the vine. How God exalted Israel out of all nations. Only you I have known about above all nations, God said. Only Israel saw the miraculous miracles of God unlike any other nation. And her history is tragic. But because God planted the seed of the highest quality, it cannot be destroyed. Because God planted it. And so He's put her to one side, and at the right time, her redemption will come. And God again will turn back to Israel when the last Gentile is saved. There's the grace and mercy of God. There's the life that is in the vine. You see, vines are tough old things. They can survive weather, winds, and so on. So we're clearly seeing then we can do absolutely nothing without him. And without him, we are of no value at all. And that is why it's so tragic that there are a lot who are religious, who think they're Christian and go to church, do all outwardly the right things, but sadly they don't have a value because they are not of the true vine. You see, some branches have, they nearly fall off. There's only just a little sap that's going through their life. You see it sometimes, you know, with plant life, or maybe I've seen it with roses where one of the branches has almost snapped off. There's still a little life that's going through. There's just a few leaves that are surviving. And there are some Christians that are like that, who walk in unbelief, who don't trust God. It's just still a little life trickling through them by the mercy and grace of God, you see. But God will not have that of us. He's going to have us to be fruitful and healthy. So we're going to look at some areas before we finish with this teaching. Where are we drawing from his life? Because it's his life that we draw from. You see, you will be fruitful to his word and prayer. That's one of the first characteristics of a healthy vine. I'm going to draw food, everything for me to survive. And what is that? The word of God, the seed that is planted, and prayer life that goes with it. You cannot divide the two. The two go together. And so we have seen to be fruitful, to make it in, to be strong, healthy, I need a prayer life and I need the word of God. And when you put that first, when that is your heart's desire, as I've said many times, you will find God will move heaven and earth, if need be, for you to fulfill that. He'll do that. Why? Because that is vital for the growth of the vine. Another area. The vine is essential for his body and fellowship. In other words, his headship over us. God wants to be head over a healthy, fruitful church. Why? Because it's reflecting him, his nature, his character, who he is. This assembly should be reflecting the character and life of Jesus Christ. His love, his grace, his mercy, his generosity, everything, we should be a reflection of that. Another area to consider is our consecration, our life, our commitment to this walk and to Christ. Our life and commitment should always come first before anything else. And we have various commitments in our life, and particularly those of you who've got family and children, and God knows that. But we have to learn in our consecration to put him first. You get that right, you get that balanced, and the fruit will just grow. And you don't have to strive at it. God is doing it. Another area to be fruitful and to consider is the great challenge is to walk by faith. And God wants us with our faith to be fruitful. I think sometimes we've allowed faith to be a bit of a drudge. Oh, I've got to believe through this. Or whatever it would be, or we look too much to our doubts. And of course, we have a lot of teaching with regard to faith, but faith is part of the fruit of the Spirit. Always remember that. It is a very important fruit. Your faith, the fruit of the Spirit, as I tell you so often, is found in Him, not you. Your fruit, the fruit of the Spirit, is in Him. And for every situation in this life that we face, we meet, there is a fruit that is attached to it. Are you battling unbelief, finding it difficult to believe? There's a fruit. And you know what it's called? Faith. It's there for you to draw from. And how do you draw it? By abiding relationship with Him. You see? That unbroken relationship. We make it very hard for ourselves at times. Another area for us to consider being fruitful is for our light to shine, that we may be witnesses, not only to our family, but at work, when we go out and those whom we meet, we should be a witness. We should know how to conduct ourselves and to be led by the Spirit in every situation. And if we're sensitive and open, God very often will soon make you sensitive towards people and people you meet. Jesus revealed that many times in his ministry. He had words of knowledge, wisdom that would come into operation. The Father spoke to him about that person. And they'd look in amazement. Well, how do you know that? That isn't to be anything different or unusual. That is what you and I should be. That is part of being fruitful, walking in the Spirit. Maybe God just speaks to you and say, pray for that lady. And he might even tell you why you're to pray for her or whatever it would be. You see, this is how we become fruitful. This is how we let our light shine. It's seen by the world. As of course I've said many times, they see a lot more in us than you are aware of. Trust me, God doesn't let you see too much what shines out of you. And he has a reason for that. But I can assure you, the world is seeing an awful lot. And this is why I keep saying, be on your guard with the world out there. And people you meet and friends, you are attractive, you are kind, you are loving. They see something about you and they are drawn to you, but be very careful, they will start to draw life out from you. It can become a drain. Sometimes it is difficult, but sometimes you have to turn away. Because the enemy is using it. And we just have to know how far we get involved with people because they want to attach themselves to us. Because they see something that they can't get from other people in the world. Particularly now as the world is getting harder and harder and the love of many is waxing cold, we're doing it completely the opposite. Many were attracted to Jesus. Jesus had many followers. Hundreds at times used to follow him. They saw something different about this man, but he had to challenge them with the word of God, the sword of the Spirit. Because that then sorted out those whom the Father had called, those who want the word of God, that seed within their heart, you see. So it's not always easy, and we have to apply in this world a lot of wisdom and sensitivity. And sometimes you're not to get attached to certain people. The Bible's quite clear about wrong company and what it can do. So we have to be sensitive to the Lord, and we are if we abide in the vine. And finally, being fruitful. We're fruitful to the call over our life, what we're destined for. And we are destined for a tremendous amount. And we remain faithful to it, because one day it will be seen for what God has promised. And that is why we stay, we endure, we keep with it, because we know that this fruit that is being born, being produced, is for the world to see, for our Father to be glorified. That is the whole purpose of FGA, and I can't speak for other churches, but for us and all of us who continue with this, we are first and foremost for the glory of God. You keep that in mind and heart, and you'll find everything else falls into place. And one of the wonderful things about this is we don't have to strive at this. We just are before him, and he is the master builder. He is the vine, and our Father is the vine dresser, and he's going to dress and till this assembly for his glory, that we bear much fruit.